Okay, if we can have your attention back up front here. So the second seminar that we'll be looking at today, we'll look at three different areas, the healing power of forgiveness, healing of our past hurts, and then also healing of our image of God. And our image of God is something that affects the way that not only we relate to the Lord, but also the way that we're able to minister and serve to other people as well. So again, So those three topics today. We'll be taking time to pray with each other, but those areas are more personal areas, so we won't really get into those areas. We'll just take time to pray for whatever needs you may have, physical needs as well. The areas that we'll be looking at today require a little bit more training and to go more deeply into working with people on those particular areas. So we'll limit our praying today just to physical hurts and wounds in our body, for example, or also family members that we want to pray for, or your own particular needs that you have that you'd like to be prayed for. So let's begin our prayer today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Lord, we welcome your presence here today. We ask you to be with us and to work with us through the scriptures that we hear, through our conversation with each other, and through our ministry of prayer to one another. Father, we thank you for joining us here together today, drawing us together as your sons and daughters. And we pray, Father, in the name of your Son this day, that you would just release your gifts of healing in our midst, that you would release understanding of your ways in our midst, that you would bring to us a fresh understanding of how you work among us and your deep desire to make us men and women who grow in wholeness, who experience the healing of your presence that binds up our wounds and that stirs our hearts into a greater love for you and for one another. And we thank you, Lord, for this as we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay. One side note, Pat can't be here today. She had a death in her family up in New York, so she's attending to that. So you have just me today. So, all right. So let me just give you a quick review from last month on part one. And we talked about healing of the whole person. We talked about how the sin affects us at different levels, body, soul, spirit, relationships, generations, and therefore the Lord Jesus came to bring healing, to make provision for us in body, soul, spirit, and also our family generations. So just as sin has brought brokenness into different parts of our life, so healing also is intended to bring restoration to us on those different levels. We also talked last month about expectant faith and healing. We looked at the woman with the hemorrhage and how she pushed her way through the crowd to touch Jesus. You know, and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his cloak. We said that expectant faith comes by looking at Jesus, knowing what he's like and drawing near to him just as the woman did. Our illnesses aren't a time to turn away from the Lord. They're a time to turn towards him, just as that woman did. And that illness can be mental illness. It can be physical illness. It can be brokenness in our relationships. It can be dysfunction in our families. We don't turn away. We turn towards because he's the source of healing for us. And then we took some time in the afternoon last month to pray with others. And we said that our prayer should be simple, not complicated. We'll revisit that a little bit today. Next month, the third seminar in March, we'll go more into detail about how we pray with others and particularly how we learn to keep our prayers simple and spend more time learning to listen to the Lord. But we said that in praying with others, the most important thing is to cultivate compassion in our heart for the person before us. We said also that all of us can pray with others. This isn't just the realm of certain people, whether it be professional people or staff people or ordained people, but all of us can pray. And Jesus, in fact, expected all his disciples to lay hands upon the sick so they would recover. We also mentioned that it's the Holy Spirit who brings the gifts of healing, not us. And so we just invoke his presence. Holy Spirit, come and minister to this child of yours, this son, daughter before you. That can be as simple as that in our prayer. And so we say pray specifically for whatever the need is. So if we don't kind of go global in our prayer, we go more specific. So if it's heart disease, we pray for the heart to work better, so to speak. If it's cancer in the body, we ask the Lord to drive out the cancer, basically, to bring the light of his presence that will scatter the darkness of cancer. Yeah. So in other words, prayer should be simple. It doesn't have to be flowery. It should be specific, and it should be directed towards the need of that person. And then we said healing's not in our hands. It's in the Lord's hands. Our job is to show up and pray with people, okay? Our job is to make available his gifts of healing, and he needs vessels, and you and I are those vessels. And it doesn't require a degree. It doesn't require, you know, a lot of biblical education. What it requires is availability to him. And we said as we make ourselves available, he wants to use us to reach people. And we say, well, I don't know a lot about healing. You don't have to know a lot. Just show up and cultivate compassion in your heart and let the Lord use you in the circumstance. As time goes on and you practice this with others, you'll grow with a deeper desire to want to learn more. And you'll have a desire to want to minister to other people. When you see the Lord beginning to work in people's lives, it's like the Lord has gone fishing. And that's the bait. And he's hooked you. And you can never be the same ever again. Because once you see what he can do through you, it changes how you see things. Okay, so with that in mind, let's turn to your notes today. We're going to be looking at, first of all, the healing of past hurts. Again, if you have a Bible with you, we mentioned last time about the importance of bringing a Bible. We'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. So I'll just give you a minute to turn to there. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. This is a well-familiar story, the road to Emmaus. We're going to be looking at that story in the light of healing of past hurts. Okay, so let's take a look at your notes, first of all. What is the healing of past hurts? What do we mean by that? So it deals primarily with our emotional life. You know, it deals with things like memories that we have, past experiences that we have undergone that have been somewhat traumatized or even very negative to us. There are things that in the past that come from sometimes our own sins have brought this about. Other times we're victims. It's what other people have done to us. In either case, whether it's our own sin or whether it's we're the victim of what others have done to us, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Sometimes people think, oh, it was my fault, my sin. There's no healing for me. That's the furthest from the truth. Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. His desire is to heal us even when it's our fault, even when it's because the bad effects in us are caused by us, he still desires to come and heal. He doesn't stand on protocol with that. And reason for that is because his heart is full of mercy to us. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 in your notes here. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Healing of past hurts in our life falls as part of his ministry to us, as bringing liberty to those that are captive, proclaim freedom for prisoners. So many people today are imprisoned to wounds from the past, memories of the past in which are filled with trauma for them that has been extremely negative and wounding to their life. Many people today are victims of things. It's like living in the arena of resentments and grudges because of things that have happened to them that they have been a victim of and haven't been able to set free. It's kind of like people are in prison because of that. Their memories hold them in prison. And what the Lord wants to do is heal the brokenhearted. He wants to set free the captive, bring release to those imprisoned by these kinds of things. So we have found healing of past hurts, it oftentimes will be the key that unlocks physical healing as well. And I think one of the greatest healings that can occur to us is the healing of our past hurts. What it does is it opens us up to the graciousness of the Lord in a new way in our life. And oftentimes that can have profound effects for us physically as well as in our relationships as well. So let's take a look at your notes here. Brokenness in our emotions is generally caused by another person or some experience we've been exposed to in the past. These effects have a life of their own and hurt us in the present. You can be going along having the greatest day of your life, you know, and all of a sudden a memory from the past, which is very traumatizing for you, pops up out of nowhere and steals the joy of that day from you, you know. And all of a sudden you went from bright, sunny, shiny outlook to a cloud over your life. That's what we mean by these memories, these past hurts have a life of their own. This is what Jesus has come to free us from and to heal us from. This in turn leads us to various forms of sin, depression, or sense of unworthiness and inferiority, unreasoning fears and anxieties, and even psychosomatic illnesses. How many times have we, just in the simplest of psychosomatic understanding, have a memory pops up that is traumatized in my mind, and it leaves me feeling just down in the dumps, and I develop later on a stomach ache of some kind, or a headache of some kind. You know, in other words, there is a profound effect on our emotions with our bodies. We're not all that apart from one another in terms of how our bodies and emotions interact. So what the Lord wants to do is free us. So let's take a look at the road to Emmaus, chapter 24 of Luke. Okay, so I'm going to stop at various points and just kind of talk about what the passage means at various points. So first of all, the very day two of them, meaning two of Jesus' disciples, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all the things that happened. What had happened was the crucifixion of Jesus. They were his followers. Okay. Then verse 15 says, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. That was very interesting here. These are two disciples that have been well familiar with Jesus, walked with him for 3 years, and yet they did not recognize him. Now, he's alive and risen, so the last time they saw him was being put in a tomb, but they did not recognize him. There's something, I say that because the scripture in Luke here is somewhat clear to us that they were prevented. What prevented them? Let's take a look, read on. Verse 17, he said to them, what is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Now, sad here in the scripture is they were depressed. They were depressed because of the events that took place, and they talk about those events. Now, one of them, named Cleophas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these last days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. Now, the chief priests and the rulers were their chief priests and rulers. So they saw their own leadership take Jesus and put him to death, basically. You can imagine the trauma of that, to see your leaders put someone that you love to death. These were religious leaders who governed them in their life, but also they were responsible for their spiritual life, for their spiritual welfare, which was everything to these people. Verse 21, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Hoped. They had put their hope in him. They had put their trust in him. And their expectations were that he would be the one to deliver them. Of course, those expectations, those hopes were completely dashed. And just think for a moment, just think of a person growing up in a family who implicitly puts their trust maybe in a father or a mother, and yet that father or mother traumatizes them in some way. You can imagine that the hope, which was implicit there, went now to a whole different direction for them, one that would leave them feeling very much not only confused and bewildered and wounded, but at the same time, they carry that memory. The expectation, it shouldn't have been that way, but the reality is, I experienced this. So that's where the memory, the hurt, the woundedness of the memory comes from. Okay, so this is where they were with that. Let's look at verse 22. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they did not see. And then Jesus begins to talk to them. O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what Jesus was doing here was taking the scriptures. For them, it was the Old Testament. It was the Psalms. It was the prophets. It was the Torah, which made up the first five books of the Old Testament. And he was taking the whole Old Testament, which was dear to them. It was important to them. And he began to reinterpret the meaning of these events in light of the Word of God in the sacred scriptures. When we talk about healing of memories or healing of past hurts, what we're talking about in our hearts is the Lord taking the events of our present, of our past, and reinterpreting for them in light of who he is. So we'll come back to that in just a minute. Okay, verse 28. So they drew near to the village in which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. It's a language of fellowship. It's a language of intimacy. They actually, he said here, they went in. He appeared to be going further. They constrained him is the language of they actually physically kept him from going further. They wanted him to stay, come in and stay with them. In other words, they weren't going to let him out of their sight because, as I'll talk in a few minutes, something was happening inside of them regarding the memories of what took place were beginning to change for them. Yeah. Okay, so verse 28. Verse 32. So they said, verse 30. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. Listen to this now. They said to him, did our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road while he opened to us the scriptures? The burning always in the scripture indicates the fire of Sinai, which now is the fire of Pentecost, which is the fire of the Holy Spirit, was changing their understanding of the events of these days. In other words, Jesus was taking their memories, which were filled with a darkness, a sadness, a confusion, and he was beginning to reinterpret those memories and taking from them not the memory, but the darkness of the memory away from them. And was beginning to transform those memories. They were beginning to see differently than what they had before. So they started the journey with Jesus coming to walk alongside of them in a moment of sadness, confusion, depression. And they went from, as they walked with him on the journey, he used his presence coming alongside of them and his word in scripture to help them to begin to see these events in a different way. How would we see those events? Those events would be seen through the eyes of his love, his power, and his purposes for them. So let's take a look at what they did. Verse 31, they rose the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, who said, the Lord has risen, has appeared to Simon. They told what had happened on the road, and he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. A new kind of relationship occurred between them and Jesus. They went to the others and proclaimed that he was alive and risen. The fruit of their healing was a deeper conviction that despite the darkness of what took place, the Lord was bringing forth a new purpose in their life. But Paul said in Romans chapter 8, God fits everything into a pattern for the good to those that love him are called according to his plan. So just take a look, if you would, on your notes here. Let's review what healing of past hurts is. This is on the page. It says, our perspective of healing past hurts. Jesus brought emotional healing to many because he's alive and risen. He continues to do so today. So when we talk about the healing of past hurts, we're saying that the risen Christ brings his risen life and power into our past hurts. They can be memories of past hurts. They can be being victims of traumatic events in our life. I know one lady I ministered to years ago. As a little girl of 6 years old, she had to go into the hospital for basically, she had a hole in her heart. So they were going to do surgery on her. And she, by the time I met the lady, she was like in her 50s. She had carried within her heart all these years just a fear of being abandoned. There she was, 6 years old, facing a surgery, a pretty big time surgery, and her parents weren't there for her. She carried that sense of abandonment in her heart from 6 years to, I think she was in her early 50s when I met her. The way that it worked out in her life was she always felt that she would be abandoned by God. She always felt that she was alone in the world. There was just like this sadness in the part of her heart that she felt totally alone in the world that she lived in. And it manifested also in just a sense of deep insecurity that she could never be able to like do what we're doing here today, pray with other people or be able to stand up and talk about her relationship to God. She could never do that. So what we did was, part of the healing of past hurts was that we took the memory that she went through, which was that time being alone, and asked Jesus to go back into her memory. See, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Yesterday, he can go back and handle yesterday like he can handle tomorrow for us. So we asked him to go back in his love and in the risen presence of Christ and step back into that memory when she was alone. We asked that he would go back and step into that memory with her, that she would not be alone in that memory. The historical event was she was alone. But now we were saying in the present day, Lord, go back and surround this woman, her name was Carol, with your love and fill her with your love. So we prayed that way, and she also had to forgive her parents too, because basically she held even as a six-year-old, she felt abandoned by her parents. She needed to forgive them, which she was able to do. Now, we prayed, I think, just not that long, for maybe 20 minutes, and then we revisited it like a couple weeks later and prayed again. And the fruit of that, Carol's now in her 70s, and you know, today she's a woman who can stand up and talk, much like I'm doing, and talk about her relationship to Christ. She remembers being alone in the hospital to this day, but now the sense of abandonment is gone. She knows that the Lord was with her, even though she couldn't perceive it at the moment. She knows now that he was with her, that he didn't abandon her, even though her parents did at that point. She is also able to, I don't know, through the years, she's been able to minister to people. She's been able to teach others how to do that. You know, she prays with others and so on. So she grew in confidence of herself. So the fruit of the healing for Carol's life was a new sense of security, a new sense of boldness, a vanquishing of fear, no longer feeling abandoned in the universe, knowing that the Lord is with her, just like he said he would be, and that she feels assured of his love for her. And that manifested in her caring for other people too. So that's what we mean by healing of past hurts. That we don't have to be bound to the trauma of the memories of our past. Let's take a look at number two. Jesus comes to free us from the evil that burdens us. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He takes the memories of the past and the wounds associated with them and removes the darkness from them. He doesn't take away the historical fact of what took place for you. What he takes away is the darkness and the sting and the pain of that event is what he takes away. So we can remember what happened, but it doesn't have the power over us that it once had. It's a key understanding in healing of past hurts. Number three is past hurts bring sickness to our emotions and different parts of ourselves and even our relationships. Past hurts are nothing to ignore. They're nothing to push away and push down. They have a power of their own and can bring a sickness into our emotions. My story with Carol, for example, the sense of abandonment brought a great deal of fear and loneliness into her life. That affected the way that she related to people, including her own family members, also the way she was incapable of really entrusting her heart to the Lord that he could use her. She couldn't believe she could be used by him, you know. But once she began to experience the Lord's healing in that area, then one of the fruit of that healing was that she saw herself as available to the Lord to be used by him. And he was more than ready to use her. Okay, number four, healing of pastors opens up renewal of our spiritual life and brings new freedom to us. One of the beautiful things about the healing of past hurts or memories in the past is that it brings a renewal of our relationship to Christ. It brings a new level of intimacy with him. It brings a kind of a freshness of the Lord's presence and his love into our life. Number five, healing of past hurts can take place through receiving or giving forgiveness from God and others. We're going to talk about that today. The next talk is about the healing power of forgiveness, and this afternoon about healing our image of God. Healing of past hurts opens us up to be able to receive forgiveness from the Lord in a new way, a deeper way in our hearts, and also to give that forgiveness to other people. A lot of times with the healing of past hurts and wounds from the past, there is a need to forgive. And again, it's why it's a topic that we're addressing separately later this morning, because it's so critical to our emotional and spiritual well-being. Letter B, breaking habitual responses and behavior generate in reaction to life's trauma. Carol's habitual responses and behavior was because she felt abandoned and she felt lonely in that, her response was a sense of inferiority. She withdrew from any sense of being used by the Lord for anything. You know, she just didn't feel that she was capable to do that. That was her habitual response. Healing changed that. It brought a different response now, a response that she saw herself as now being available to the Lord. She wanted to be used by him. She saw herself as being a vessel to help other people. And letter C, in the healing of past hurts, Jesus reinterprets and heals bad memories in prayer and conversation through the light of his word and his purposes. Jesus, on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, his presence, which meant his spirit, his Holy Spirit with them, conversation with them around God's word, reinterpreted the events of what took place. In my example with Carol, that in prayer with her, the prayer was in the framework of sharing the scriptures with her that said that, yes, you felt abandoned and lonely, and indeed you were. But here's what the Lord says, that really where he was with you in that moment. And so it was a reinterpreting of that event for her through God's word. And then we prayed with her. Okay, letter D, renewing our mind with word of God, getting God's perspective of the situation in ourselves brings a new identity in Christ. God's word is very powerful. You know, it's not just nice language, you know, religious language and pietistic language. It has a power to itself. You know, Isaiah says that the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, when my word goes forth, it shall not return void, but accomplish my purposes. The Hebrews called the word of God devar, D-E-V-A-R, which means a force let loose in the world. God's word is a force let loose. It has a power to reshape hearts and minds. That's why we share the scriptures with people when we're praying with them through the healing of past hurts. One of the things that Carol did in between the prayer sessions, we asked her to reflect on certain passages we gave her, to meditate upon them, that helped her in her healing process. Yeah. Letter E, being part of the body of Christ in small group relationships can establish us in the healing brought about through prayer. So one of the things that did happen for Carol, we stress this all the time, is a healing of past hurts flourishes well with great fruitfulness when people are connected with other Christians, particularly in small groups, where they can be encouraged, they can be supported, they can be prayed with, they can just share their life and develop healthy relationships. Other Christians have a way of building up ourselves, that we gain strength from being with other Christians. In an ongoing, continuous way. And Carol did have that. She was part of a prayer group, which there were small groups as part of the prayer group, and she was with that prayer group for many years, and that just strengthened the healing that took place for her. I'm convinced to this day, if that wasn't part of her life, I don't think she would have been as healthy spiritually or even emotionally as she became. It was through other Christians that built on that, reinforced that for her. And it wasn't like they were always talking about it with her. That wasn't the case at all. It's just that she was hanging out with other Christians. And through the prayer and support and the sharing of their life with each other, she could be built up through that. And that was a key dimension of her healing. And we found it to be also key as well. What we do in prayer with each other, we found really is sustained and strengthened when people are rooted in relationships with other Christians, you know, particularly in a small group setting. Okay, so healing of past hurts. Let's turn over to next page. Okay, this part we'll tackle letter F. We'll actually talk a little more about in next month. This is in prayer for healing of past hurts. The Lord will bring to the person ministering. So if you're ministering to somebody and praying with them, we call it revelation gifts. That is insights the Lord gives to help in prayer to serve the person. These insights move a person to open themselves to God's love for them in a new way. In other words, when you're praying for somebody and praying with them and they've opened your heart to you, the Lord will oftentimes give insights. For example, I remember one person in praying with them, as I began to pray with them, they were talking about a sense in their own life, a sense of living in fear and constant anxiety. And as I began to pray with them, I felt like the Lord showed me a kind of an image in my mind of like when they were 5 years old, they were like a little girl and saw their father going off. He never returned back to home. He actually ended up dying. And this little girl saw him for the last time leaving the gate. That was the image that came to my mind. I shared that. I said, I had no idea what that meant to this person. Never, did not meet this person before. Knew not their story at all, okay? I said, this came to my mind. Does this mean anything to you? And she began to just cry about that. And she began to share what I just told you. Sometimes when we're praying with people, the Lord give us insights. The best way to handle that is saying, you know, I'm having this thought in my mind, it came into my mind, does this mean anything to you? You know, and let the person have the freedom to say, yes, it does, or no, it doesn't. Sometimes it does, but they're not ready to say that. And then sometimes it doesn't mean a thing to them. So what I do is just keep praying with them, you know. But sometimes it does, and when it does, it can open up an avenue of how to pray for that person. So what we did was we prayed for that particular memory, which was something that she did not disclose at all to me until I shared that image I had that came to my mind with her. We'll talk more about that next month. Okay, so in your groups today, let's take a look at some of these questions. Why do you think so many people have inner hurts in the world today? And how would you define healing of past hurts? And how do the sins of previous third and fourth generations affect the present generation? And then what questions do you have about the healing of past hurts? Let's take about 15 minutes or so just to talk about that.